Namotasa. Arahato Sammasambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhasa. So last month I talked about loving kindness a little bit. And I was explaining, if you remember, what was I telling you about loving kindness? What do you remember?
Some motivation that carries through on that moment to moment. But it's the moment, it's the thread that carries you through.
Okay. And that's why what? Chen Rizzi's what? Right hand is holding what?
Rosary.
Because the rosary is like little beads that are separate, but except for the thread that connects them all, right? So it's very like the sense of self arises at every moment based on the last one and what connects the last one to this one. It happens so fast that we don't see it. So we feel like there's one continuous self. Mm-hmm. It requires the ability to not prefer certain mind states to certain other mind states. To see that. Isn't that just too bad? Because it could be a day or two, couldn't it?
Or a week.
But really, what you have when you have a sense of self is, you know, there's this like interesting thing. It's like the motive is what turns the page. And suddenly there's this self that arises. Mm-hmm. With all the causes and conditions to support it. And totally present and totally what it is. Has a sense of past and future. Mm-hmm. Has a history, doesn't it? And has a sense of how it's going to go in the future. And then suddenly the conditions change. And the motive turns another page. You get pissed off or something. And poof, there's a whole other self that arises. Totally different, but with similar themes. Mm-hmm. Black spots, it's called. Mm-hmm. And complete with the past and future. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And then another, something happens in the environment, or inner, outer environment. Whoops! Another moment comes. Another self. Things in common, but totally different. Complete with a sense of past and future. Whoops, another one. Whoops.
That's what I had in the car today. I got hit from behind.
Oh, did you?
Just tapped.
Oh. And then another one, which is like, looks kind of flat, but if you actually start examining it, you see that there are always these little changes happening in it.
Mm. Wow.
And sometimes they happen very quickly from both sides at once, and sometimes they sort of go half and half. Oh, it's all black. Oh, no, it's all yellow. It's, right? Mm. Or else it's like, oh, me, I'm separate from the world, and oh, yeah, I feel like a square box in a round hole. Oh, yeah, I wonder if anybody else even cares. Not like a face. And then, oh, you see this turning?
Yeah.
Something's spinning. And then it all closes up again. So this is more an introverted self that arises in a moment. And then another second, and then a whole other self arises. Has a lot of things to say and is really making sure it gets lots of attention. It's not hanging down. And then another, it's a great book, isn't it?
Yes.
and another self, but this one also has like different. Sometimes they come together, sometimes they're in total agreement, but they don't really last very long, and then they try to, and then it doesn't run always. So. And then another moment arises. And then another moment arises.
Wow.
Interesting variation on the first one.
Yeah. And so it goes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's exactly what happens in our minds from every moment. There's a whole other self with a complete past and future. Mm-hmm. And then it switches. The motive is the hand turning the page. And then there's another one. Mm-hmm. So what matters is the moment, is the motive. If the motive is kindness, you can transform any moment to interest. Because kindness is not self-absorbed. So it actually is interested in what's around it. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Remember me talking about that, but without the book last week? So the threads that the rosary is strung with, the thread, is actually made of little pieces too. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. But they're woven together. So they seem like one continuous thread, but you can have lots of little hiccups in the not always loving kindness, can't you? Mm-hmm. From motive to motive. Mm-hmm. You see how vastly possible mm-hmm. different selves can arise like that, depending how the motive can just change like that, can't it? Get hit from behind. Going along, minding your own business, having your daydream about what you're going to do after class tonight, and then halt, and a whole other motive arises, doesn't it? Like so fast, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then that strings the next moment, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But we feel like it's one continuous self. The only way we can come even close to having anything that resembles a continuous self, which is impossible, mm-hmm. but anything that resembles it, is if we focus on maintaining a particular motive. Now we have our choices of motives. We can choose hatred. Well, it's interesting. Kind of isolating, but the only people who are going to cozy up to you are masochists whose opinion is worth fuck all. Am I being taped?
Oops.
Whose opinion is worth fuck all. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Or kindness.
Mm.
And which is going to give you the greatest joy in your life? Anger or kindness?
Kindness. Service to others.
Kindness. Big time. Big time. Isn't it? But in order to be kind, we have to be kind to ourselves first. That means we have to quit having walls, quit having wars with the different parts of ourselves.
Mm.
Doesn't it? We have to trust that what we're doing is exactly what we should be doing. There's not one thing wrong with who we are and what we are. Not one thing wrong with it. Not one thing wrong. Now that's a little difficult. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the resident expert is always ready to go, well, you should be this. But really, every state of being has a power. And there's not one of those states of being that does not have value. If you're feeling sad and depressed, what's that good for?
Being vulnerable. vulnerable.
It is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Openness. There's an openness to it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you use that openness to think of how many other people must be sad and depressed too? Huh? Why not? Why don't you reach out to all the other vulnerable people? Then you'd be pretty strong. It would just be everybody in the universe, wouldn't it? How about hatred? What's it good for?
Focus.
Isn't it, though?
Energy. Lots of energy.
Yeah. But, like, narrowing, so the energy is the same as in sad, except it's pulled tight. Just this. So why not focus on something beautiful? Right? People, everybody has interesting eyes, don't they? Don't they?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is really just causing you piss off anger, why don't you just change your focus and just look at their eyes and try to figure out if you're going to paint those eyes, what colors would you use? Next thing you know, you'll be looking at them with this interest and energy. Wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Doesn't that just turn it? Taking the focus, but using it for kindness. Every mind state has a power. It's how you use it that matters. So first, Genrezi is holding a rosary, threaded together the beads of consciousness, the continuum, mental continuum, the little beads coming up one after the other.
Mm.
Focus, turning the thumb, turning page, the focus, the power that strings the beads together is the motive. Mm. And if the motive, if you don't focus on learning that you do wish, that you do like being happy, and you do wish you could be more happy more of the time, and you don't make that a little pledge to yourself, say 3 or 4 times a day, and congratulate yourself for the times you remember, which is very important, isn't it? Because then that's being kind to yourself, isn't it? Huh? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You have to accept your own motivation as worthy. So you have to be kind to yourself. And don't dwell on your failures.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on what you do well. When you're trying something that you're not that good at, it's especially important, isn't it? So having that ability... Did I just hear the door?
No, it's... my elbow.
Oh, okay. Having that ability to just, you know, to change all the different minds, have all the different mind states arise with the thread of kindness, what would that mean? That would mean that no matter what, who it was, what mind state was being presented to the world, there would be this energy of vulnerable, openness, interest, and the armor of kindness.
Mm.
One of my favorite stories about the Buddha of late, I don't know if I told you this last month, but if so, I'm going to tell you again.
Mm.
He was going on arms round in a different, slightly different place than he'd gone before. And there just happened to be this guy, just at this village that he was going to go on alms round, who studied with a different teacher and knew that his teacher was right and the Buddha was actually a con artist. It was very clear. He knew it very well. He knew, he could feel, he knew, he had, it was true. He knew this. This was true. So he decided that he had to stop the Buddha from conning all the people in his village. So he hired a bunch of the local villagers, especially some of the teenage kids, to throw stones at the Buddha and all his followers and call him names and go down the street and knock on doors and tell everybody the Buddha was a crook and he was actually just casing their place to come back and rob them at night, and they should just slam their doors and not give them anything. And they're going along on arms round, and things are getting a little tight. A lot of stones coming at them and insults and, you know, people sending dogs after them. And Ananda says, "Lord Buddha, this is not a very friendly place. Maybe we should go somewhere else on arms round." And the Buddha says, "Ah, very good, Ananda, yeah. But Ananda, if the same thing happens there, then what should we do?" "Well, Lord Buddha, we should go somewhere else." "Ah, oh, yes, yes, yes. But Ananda, if the same thing happens there, what should we do?" "Lord Buddha, we should just go somewhere else." "Ah. Ananda, if the same thing happens there, what should we do?" And Ananda bowed to the Buddha. "Thank you. Thank you, great teacher." Mm. It's not about the outer world, it's about how you meet it. Mm. We can blame the outer world all we want. It's not about the other world, it's about how you meet it. Whether you're willing to be vulnerable and kind to yourself and then to others. Mm. Isn't that true? Yeah. So that's basically what I was talking about loving kindness, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So when you practice loving kindness, you discover something very interesting. You discover that it's impossible to be happy. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that, maybe your shoelace breaks, or have you noticed anybody notice that, or a button falls off your pants just when you're about to do it? Any of you notice these things, or your tooth chipped when you were just eating those wonderful toffees? Anyone notice this? Thank you. Well, one of you has, good. Okay, so like that's one thing, is that there is always dissatisfactoriness. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
And there is always this longing to get away from the dissatisfactoriness. Mm. But we'll get to that in a minute. There is always dissatisfactoriness. That's the first one. And the desire for an experience other than that which is present is suffering. First one. Mm. And then every once in a while you have the perfect orgasm or the perfect piece of music or the, you know, everything is like, oh, the perfect grandchild or whatever. It's just like, and notice how you try to hang on to that?
Mm-hmm.
Does it work?
No.
Damn! So that's the second one. The desire to maintain a state of happiness is suffering. And then the third one, first you eat, then you have to do the dishes, then you have to brush your teeth, then you're passing by the refrigerator and you just have one more piece of something, And then you should brush your teeth again. Mm-hmm. The impermanence of everything, the continuous change, the truth of change is suffering. Mm. The little moments of change. That we can't sit still. Can we? Mm-hmm. Remember how hard it was to learn how to meditate?
Oh, you mean you can learn how?
I'm told. Yes, you can. I told you about the chipmunk. The time I was going to awaken. Okay. Well, it just proves what I'm saying, doesn't it? I mean, it's my third retreat. You don't know this stuff? It was my third retreat in, with my beloved teacher, Ananda Bodhi. I don't know if you ever met him. And it was an insight retreat because he was an insight kind of guy in those days. And I'd been to quite a few classes and I took really good notes. And, you know, I'm bright. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, it was my third retreat. It's like an hour before lunch. I think I'll awaken. So I had my meditation cushion. This was one of those retreats where he had me sit. This is when the mink sheds were still up, where you now park the cars. There used to be two mink sheds. He had me meditating in one of the mink sheds. So, oh well, yeah, great. So we can turn anything into nirvana. I was quite good at that. All the delusion type. And I got my cushions all set up so that I can sit in a full lotus pretty well close anyway, with one knee almost touching, one foot almost over the gap of the, you know, and I had enough cushions so my knees were comfortable. I checked my back and, I forgot to put my watch, okay, I better get my watch. And then I thought, I'll just have a drink of water. I thought I'd have a drink of water. Well, maybe I should pee. Well, no, I can pee. And I get back and I arrange myself in a cushion so there's like 40 minutes before I did lunch. Okay, that's good. I sit nice and comfortably and then I realize I forgot to put on a mosquito repellent. Okay, so where did I put it? Oh, is it in that bag? Oh, is it in the bathroom? No, I threw it in the bathroom. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. Okay, I'll just do my face. Oh, I better do my hands. Oh, I better do my shoulders. Oh, I better do my... Okay, then I'm ready. Okay. That's it. I'm nice and comfortable. Get legs in the right position. Spine straight. Neck slightly tilted. Double chin. It's easier for me now. Must be quite thin then. And... Do your eyes should be maybe closed or half open? I can't remember. Check my notebook.
You can read it in my house.
Oh, right. Okay, got it. Okay, I got my notebook. Okay, oh, that cushion fell. Okay, let me get down. Oh, yeah, maybe if I move this. Oh, I know, I use my coat. Okay, roll it out. Okay, good, okay. Okay. Oh, I left the notebook over there. Yeah, but sit down. Okay. Noble truth of suffering. Get myself totally in position, but then I have to remember to read the notebooks. Slumber over. Okay, which class? Oh, yeah, that was such an interesting class. Yeah. That was a smart question I asked him there. That was good, yeah. Oh, yeah, they would ask that, of course. You know, that's the kind of question that person would ask. All right. Oh, yeah, there it is, yeah. Eyes half open, okay. Oh, there's 15 minutes left, okay. For lunch, okay. Get myself in position. Everything all right. Okay. All right. Get her undo my buttons. Yeah, it's too tight. You should have a loose waist, right? Okay. Okay, back legs. Okay, 10 minutes. Okay. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like totally. I'm going to awaken. He had just told us that one of the most important things is volition. Right? I'm going to awaken before lunch. Rising. Okay, this little noise to my right. This little chipmunk runs in the monkey shed. Along the ledge that I'm sitting on, runs up, rising, falling, sits in my hands, stops, looks up at me, looking in my eyes. I go, fuck off. I didn't remember that until about 5 years later, and I just about split. I was just rolling on the ground laughing so hard. Fuck off. Because that's our view, isn't it? Yeah, we have to have the perfect shrine room, don't we? For whatever the meditation we're doing, whether it's driving meditation or eating meditation. We have to have the shrine room that's perfect for that activity, don't we? And we don't like it when that isn't there, do we? So when we don't recognize, which is like the real point of compassion, is we don't recognize that suffering is inevitable. Dissatisfactoriness is inevitable. There is always something that isn't the way we think it should be. And to think that that is true is wisdom. That's the basis for compassion. Until we recognize suffering and how it is spread through every cell of every body, we cannot be compassionate. Isn't that incredible? And this hand he holds a lotus starts from the mud. The mud is the truth of suffering, which you make bloom into the nectar perfume of compassion. If your intention is that, to just see suffering for what it is. Isn't that powerful? But why don't we do that? Because we have this thing called longing, or more technically, craving. Don't we? And it's always craving for becoming, craving. It's always craving, and then there's some object or some event, right? We call it an object. And then as soon as there's an object, there's a subject who wants it. Who is then craving even more, so makes the object even more the focus, so the subject becomes even more clear. Right? In most of the Tibetan traditions of the deities, especially the wrathful deities and some peaceful wrathful like Padra Yogini, Hey Padra, all those ones, they have this. This is called a Dharmakara. It's a three-sided pyramid, one, two, three sides. And in the outside is usually white, except in Vajra Yogini, it's a slightly different color. But you'll see it in many, many of the sadhanas. If you look, the deity will arise inside of a Dharmakara and will be huge as the universe. Dharmakara has two meanings. One is womb and the other is mind. What's the difference? Isn't your mind the womb of your universe? Isn't your mind the womb of your universe? Everything you smell, see, think, isn't that given birth to in your mind? Whether your mind is here or here, I don't care. Not a point. So there are three points to this dharmakara, which is very interesting. This one's called craving, this one's called false view, and this one's called conceit. You can call them craving, object, subject. So every moment there are the four elements, air, fire, water, earth, the turning of the wheel of dharma, of karma, of motive, and the rebirth linking consciousness based on whatever is parenting it, falling into the womb of mind. And well, this one comes up, this one comes up. They all come popping up, one after the other. This is happening so fast that it feels like one continuous self. What is it that drives it? Craving. What does craving produce? An object. When there is an object, there's a subject. Isn't that true? When you turn around and see the craving, have you ever actually just turned and looked at craving when you want something? Just turned and just looked at the craving without letting the object get in the way? What's the quality? Every mind state has a quality. What's the quality of craving? Hatred has focus. Craving has a quality of preciseness that isn't just focus. It's more, they call it clarity. I want a strawberry ice cream cone with a waffle cone, and I would like it sprinkled with, you know?
Yeah.
And you can see it in your mind, can't you? You can see what you want. You can taste it. You can, when you crave something, doesn't it? It's not out there. It's clear in your mind. If you turn around and look at the craving, you can immediately identify that the number one quality about it is this clarity. Does that make sense? And you can just really admire the clarity. Once you do that, you've broken the chain. Haven't you? And then you see that the clarity can be anything. A new car, the old car. Yeah. The color of your eyes in the mirror. Can it? A blue flower. A green flower. A cat. It can be like that, can't it? If you desire to use the power of the craving rather than having it drive you. This is true of all the so-called defilements. Every one of them has a power. It isn't that you get rid of the defilements, it's that you ride them. They don't ride you. That makes sense? Because if they ride you, glove, 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 craving, false view, conceit, craving, false view, conceit, always longing, always carrot, string, stick, donkey. Isn't it? Never catch it, do you? Even if you do, the second bite isn't as good as the first. Even if you stuff yourself, it doesn't make it any better. Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions, answers, comments, or complaints so far?
I think it goes into habit too, and that's something.
Pardon me?
The habit also comes into that craving, so it's like you have a...
Well, the habit is based on the motive. You know, habitual tendencies are the motives that we have decided not to look at. You know, habit, remember me reading that bit from Willful Blindness? Where he uses, I've used the analogy of a river a lot. Like first the water starts flowing and then eventually it flows in the lowest part and then more and more of it flows and it creates a little ditch and then it creates a stream and then it creates a river.
Yeah.
And in that book he talked about shortcuts are really great because they really help you move along with great speed. But one of the problems is, as you move along with great speed in the company of others who also agree with you and are going in the same direction and everything's fine and it's all very comfy and very knowable, meanwhile the banks of the river get higher and higher and you can't see your options. That's habit. So if you recognize the blindness of habit, then you can decide to make a habit of not being habitual.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to every day, you know, that exercise where I give you do six things a day.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed how habituated I was about the time that Ananda Bodhi quit being Ananda Bodhi and became Namgyal Rinpoche. So I started six times a day doing something different than I usually did. Like I got up and I would always want to put my slippers on or go pee before I, you know, brush my teeth or, you know. So I started saying, okay, I'm going to brush my teeth and then I'm going to pee, which was really hard. And I did a lot of washing of underwear in those days. or put on my left shoe before I put on my right shoe or, you know.
Mm.
Where like you actually teach yourself to have a choice. And it starts feeling really good. Because you start noticing things you didn't notice before. But the real way, if you're going on retreat or something, the real way to learn about how to break habituation is by learning how to do a real calm body meditation. Which is not the same thing as forcing yourself to concentrate on one object and if anything interferes, getting pissed off. That's not calm abiding. Calm abiding is where you can hold your aspiration on one thing regardless of what's happening. That's different, isn't it? That's night and day. One, you're in control. But which you? And what's your motive? Is it kindness? No, it's desire. I want a result. Isn't it? So what's going to happen? Craving, false view, conceit. You're going to get a result, a bigger and bigger eye. Less and less awareness of anything outside those banks. Isn't that true? Is that useful? Some of you aren't so sure. Or were you thinking?
I was thinking, now I'm confused.
You're confused? About what? Which part?
Oh, I'm trying to get it right.
Exactly.
Oh no, I haven't done a craving. I want to do that right now.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? How quick that one comes up? Like in the middle of nowhere and suddenly you realize it. Like, we're just sitting here talking. There's nothing to get right or wrong, is there, really? Isn't that amazing how quickly that one will come up? And I say, geez, this is a really strong habit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do I feel comfortable with this habit? No. Or do I feel caught by this habit? Mm. Would I like to have a choice? Yeah. Answer is yes. You really do want to have a choice, honestly. Yes. You really honestly want to have a choice. Mm. Do I want to be right, or do I want to be interested? Do I want to be closed, or do I want to be open? True?
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard question. Because, like, you know, 60% of the time we'd like to be closed. So let's go with the 40% and see if we can make it stronger. So it's more even. Because this is the basis for compassion. The basis of compassion is to recognize the suffering that arises from this round and round rebirth. That is like three types of suffering. Dissatisfactoriness with what is present, desire to maintain what is present, or the suffering of change. And all three of them are continuously nipping at us, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So when we can see them and see that they're run by longing, by desire, when we can identify longing, when we can identify craving, we can turn around and look at craving itself and recognize its clarity. Very clear. When you want something, you know exactly what you want. Well, that's not always true, but generally it is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can just crave, but mostly when you're just craving, it's because you want to get away from what is present.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can clearly say what you want to get away from. But that's a little harder for most of us to identify. Because usually it's ourselves. We have trouble with that, seeing that. We can do a complete meltdown if we see that, which isn't always useful. So I don't suggest you go there. But to actually identify, you know, what is that craving? Which one of those three desires, is it? Yeah. This is Buddhism 101. Desire for an experience other than that which is present. A desire to maintain an experience that is present. And a suffering of change. Called the three types of suffering. This is Buddhism 101. This is about as basic Buddhist as you can get. And all three of them have one thing in common. There's craving involved. Or longing, whatever you want to call it. So when that longing is occurring, then there's always going to be an object either to get away from, or get to, or to resent change. I just wish life wasn't like it is. Do you have a question?
When you're glimpsing that, when you're noticing that you're really happy and you notice you're planning some way to make it last longer, so it's not the idea to try and shut that feeling down, it's more to notice it?
No, you do not shut anything down. You don't have to. You shut off the objectifying, say, like the plans for the future. You can allow yourself to really enjoy the happiness and wishing it will continue. But then you don't let yourself say, so therefore I am going to. Because that's false view. That's the object. So that feeds the craving. Should I say it a different way, or do you want to ask a question differently?
So let's say you're enjoying a piece of pie with friends, and it's wonderful, and you notice yourself starting to plot, how could we do this again? How could we make this longer? And you start to notice that. Like, my tendency is to kind of try and stop that, go, oh, don't do that. But I'm getting this idea that that's not the idea. It's to just
You just
notice.
Absolutely enjoy the feeling of joy and know that it's going to be passing.
So when you see that plotting start to come up, you just watch it? Or
you just turn around and look at the craving. Just look at the enjoyment. You just cut it off and just... That's just... I was talking to Dawn about this earlier. I've had 6 conversations with people in different parts of the world in the last couple of days about the resident expert. In various ways, it's all boiled down to the same thing. That there is this, first of all, I'll put a couple of them together and use that as an example. One, two people between them basically said that they woke up feeling really sad and lonely and that their life wasn't really important. And they were just lying there feeling that, and then pretty soon the resident expert immediately arose and said, well, you know, you should and you should and you should, right? Any of you ever experienced that? Thank you very much. I'll take that as a yes, Bob.
Yeah, okay.
So like, there is a big move between the feeling and then the arising of the thought. The feeling is just the feeling.
Oh, right.
But to sit in the feeling and experience it is not as painful as the thought that comes to pick on yourself. Is that true?
Yeah.
So you sit in the feeling and experience it. How nice this is. How delicious this pie is. How delicious my friends are. And then you immediately say, may all beings have such pleasure. Mm-hmm. Period! You don't let the other thought come up. If it comes up, you immediately note it, cut it off, and say, may all beings have this pleasure.
Okay, so you do cut it off.
The thought.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but not the experience.
Right, yeah, right, okay.
The thought is like, you know, in conversation in a little while, somebody might say, we should do this again. You say, you know, that's great. Yeah, let's. Or you might say it because it just comes up. Uh-huh. But like putting that as how to prolong this is not necessarily going to be useful, is it?
No.
Much more useful to wish everybody the joy of having pie together. Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just sending it out in all directions from your body. That increases the joy of that experience enormously. Because you just I just send everybody a bunch of bliss. Boy, are they going to be surprised. Is that useful?
Yeah.
So here we have it. The first one is the very clarity of craving. The next one is the object of craving, called false view. Why is it a false view? Because it's only appearing in your mind, isn't it? Even if it's something that you see out there, that you think you see out there, it's only appearing in your mind. Mm-hmm. Didn't you see those David Suzuki tapes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is where reality plays, isn't it? Or here, whichever one you prefer, I don't care. So it's essentially a projection. It's a play of your own desire based on your past projected into the future. It's a movie. It's empty of inherent existence. It's called emptiness. The object is actually empty of an inherent existence. It doesn't exist yet. You're projecting it. You're a projector, a movie projector. And then there's a self who wants it. But you turn around and look at the self. And what's the self? It's this kind of quality of the craving and the quality of the emptiness together. It's called non-dual wisdom. So this same triangle, you see this, many of the deity figures in the Tibetan tradition arise or are standing on, or their palace is, or they have in their heart this dharmakara, which means mind or womb. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially that craving, false view, and conceit, or craving, object, and subject, are no different than clarity, emptiness, and the non-duality of those two, which is ineffable. And every moment is the arising of the potential of seeing that there is suffering, but no one suffering. There is dissatisfactoriness. It arises and it falls, and you don't have to be a self who is unhappy. Then you can be compassionate. Can't you? Then you understand suffering. Don't you? You have looked directly at suffering rather than trying to get away from it or erase it or do concentration exercise with it rather than calm abiding. You've calmly been able to abide in a state of suffering and to see that it is empty of any fixed identity. It's continuously changing. Isn't it? And that there isn't any fixed identity of a self either, is there? Who were you 10 minutes ago? This is making sense.
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Then you understand suffering. Then you realize what compassion is. Realizing the emptiness of suffering, and that most people don't see that. So of course, you wish all beings to be free of suffering. And the causes of suffering. What are the causes? Self-grasping. Craving, object, subject. May all beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. What a beautiful wish. Maybe you only get the slightest glimmer of that truth of compassion. It doesn't matter. Start there. Maybe you can see how a craving you had like yesterday afternoon is gone. But if you wanted to, you could pull it back up. Couldn't you? And it would come quite clearly, wouldn't it? And you can say, okay, that's definitely clarity. And then you look at who was that self yesterday, and you know it's not the same self as was today, although the craving is, you know, brings some similar characteristics. But you know it's different. Don't you know that you're different today than yesterday?
Of course you do.
You see, well, you know, the object. Well, yeah, yesterday it came out more intensely, but today I can bring it up. The object isn't really that interesting. I could crave something else more right now. Right? The object is essentially empty of fixed identity. And what self? A dancing rainbow of possibility, that's what a self is. A dancing rainbow of possibility. Ain't nothing wrong. Just some of the possibilities I haven't quite preferred to have happened to me. Whoever I is and whatever me is. A dancing rainbow of possibility. That's what we are. Who knew? Who knew what our life would present? How nice to use it well. How nice to use it with kindness. How nice to use it with compassion, knowing there is suffering. And knowing that there is no one suffering. No fixed one. It comes and goes, rises and falls. Suffering is the quickest way to learn that you're not one fixed being. A kick in the ego. Isn't it? So that's basically what I was going to talk about tonight. Is that interesting to you? Do you have any questions, answers, comments, or complaints? Yeah? Or goody?
It's similar to what I was asking before, kind of. When we were working with the loving kindness, so I understand the finding six times when you're feeling happy and wishing that happiness in other people. But I find myself finding times when I'm not feeling loving kindness, sort of like, say, I'm in traffic and someone almost cuts me off or whatever. And I'll notice this not very loving kindness feeling going on. And I understand the idea is to be able to watch, well, I think, states of mind come up with loving kindness. So see that state, and I'm angry. Yeah. But what's happening?
No, not I. No, sorry. This is anger. This is anger arising due to a condition. Not I. No I there. Not unless you want to be an I. No, oh wait, this is anger. Make it less personal. Somebody cuts me off. Like, you know, driving on the highway, there's like somebody who drives right beside you, and they've got really bright lights, and they're shining in your rear view. What are those called? Those white lights, what are they called?
LEDs.
LED lights. And they're in your your side mirror, and they're like right in your eyes. And so you slow down, and they slow down. Twice on the way out here. So you slow down a little more. And then a car catches up behind them, so then they speed up. Great. Excellent. So I watch that, and I watch myself start to say, you dirk. And I go, you kind person. Thanks for showing me how irritated I like to be. This is irritation. May all beings be happy. I figure that guy probably didn't even know he was doing that. He was just sort of very used to just driving in relation to whoever was beside him. You know, the minute I take it out of he's doing that to me, So as I take the subject out.
Okay.
It's no longer an issue. They're not doing it to you.
It's
there's
not,
no he and there's not you.
It's not that. It's the... I'm noticing myself trying to edit it and going, well, where's loving kindness now?
Yeah, that's the critic. That's the resident critic rather than just naming, oh, this is irritation.
This is irritation. Okay.
All you got to do is say, oh, this is irritation. That's all you got to do. Why shouldn't there be irritation? Every mind state is valuable. The thoughts that are triggered by the mind states could use a little editing. Like the resident expert. A mind state that you don't like because it's not who I should be. Right?
Yeah.
That's ego. That's grasping for a perfect self. That's grace. That's grasping. That's trying for an experience other than that which is present.
Right.
That starts you on the round. As soon as there's an ideal, you're screwed. As soon as there is an aspiration, you have an opportunity. I would like to become more kind. Then the moments where you're not kind become reason to give you more motive to be kind. Mm-hmm. Not blame for not being kind perfectly all the time. What did that feel like? Oh, I was really irritated. What did that feel like? Didn't like the feeling. Okay, may I next time be aware of the irritation and name it as irritation so that I can just not buy into it. And that would be kindness to myself.
Okay.
Name the state, then you can be kind. You actually let the state sponsor a critic who's going to come out and tell you exactly why. You will never awaken. And why do you even go to Dharma classes? Because you're too stupid to get it. You can't even be kind when somebody cuts you off. I mean, the resident expert is brilliant. I think they should. They must have several honorary degrees. Brilliantly boring, actually. Because one of the things I really like about the resident expert, took me a long time to realize it, it's always after the fact that they're so brilliant. You notice that?
Well, yeah.
not, oh, by the way, somebody will be cutting you off in 5 minutes. You might want to watch for No. Oh, see what you did? That person cut you off. After the fact. Oh, yes, thank you. Bravo. Big help. Not. It's so fascinating, isn't it? Right after the fact, they just come up with exactly the right answer.
Everything's perfect afterwards.
Oh, yeah. You should have. What a concept. And that's what it is. A resident expert is a concept. The state of being is irritation. You go for the state of being, not the knowing. And you decide how you want to use it. You take over the thoughts. You don't let the thoughts take over you.
That comes to choice. That's choice.
Yes, isn't it? And as much as you are able. That's kindness. So that's the basis for compassion. So tomorrow we'll talk more about compassion.
I was coming back from Lacombe a few weeks ago. A friend went down to see some health guy down there. And the result of what he had to say was pretty unsettling to her. So I was driving back from the home, and the weather just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I could see she was pretty distressed. And, I got fixated. I mean, that's just nature. And she would just, she'd talk a little bit, and then she'd just go off by herself. Finally, I just reached down and took my mallet, and I started doing chin raising. I'm just driving along doing chin raising. The weather's getting worse and worse and worse coming back to Edmonton. It starts to snow, and wet snow, and okay, put on my windshield wipers and driving along. 110, 190. I'd go someplace, and it's good, come meditation or something. Getting slower and slower, and I'm looking around. I'm getting calmer and calmer and calmer. I'm not worried about, all of a sudden I'm not worried about what her, what she's worrying about. I'm,
you're practicing kindness.
I got to drive. And, mm-hmm. And at one point, we're going by the airport, and getting, cars are starting to clog up, and I looked in front of me, and I looked behind me, looked beside me. There was 100 feet in front of me and 100 feet behind me, and any time somebody would come up on the side of me, they'd just come up, slow down, and then speed by. So it was always clear. It was always just bubble around. Mm-hmm. And I just drive along, there, slow down to 50. Okay, we slow down to 50. Just what are you going through the city? Same thing. The city was just blanket of cars. You couldn't go anywhere because it was a blanket of cars. Oh, you just drive. And I had not. I'm not. That's not the way I drive. I got the resident expert telling me how to.
Yeah, speed up and why everybody else is an asshole.
Oh yeah, yeah. And just clean them up, you know. And it was such a nice drive.
Yeah.
And you know, look over there. You're having fun. You know, you're dealing with whatever you're dealing with. Not a God, pardon me, there's not a damn thing you can do about, that I can do about it.
Yeah.
You got it under control.
Yeah.
But it was such a nice drive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I drive like that. I used to, when I go down to Calgary, I used to get it because the meditation, driving to Calgary, I'm in Calgary. I don't have to stop for a pee, I don't have to stop for a donut, I don't have to stop for a coffee. I'm just in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't, it's...
Yeah, everything irritates one.
Yeah, I can come up behind somebody at 110 doing my mallet and just... Dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Come like right up, I can't see their license plate most of the time, but I can come up and read Alberta. And then go around them,
mm-hmm.
and just like that. And they don't get disturbed. Mm-hmm. I don't get disturbed. They're just doing 5 miles an hour less than me, or they're doing 20 miles an hour less than me. And just it's so nice.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And every now and again, I catch on to it. And I'm catching on to it more and more and in my life, and I'm watching other people.
People respond to it.
Yeah,
people are responding, makes an energy
and the people don't respond, or your my friends that are just, I want to be someplace warm.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy just had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you actually have a heart attack, you know, because I'm lonely not having a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why? It's his deal. You know, you try to help, you try to fix it. It don't work no more. There's days that
I try. Quite often, I imagine you've seen this too, Bob, but quite often when I would try to fix something, it was because I couldn't stand to see it.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't because I was actually going to fix it, it was because I didn't like it.
Mm.
Yeah, you must see that a lot with the healing and then learning how to just like what was present and work with the goodness in the person.
Yeah, if you look back at things now that I think I should have done with Margaret and then just, you know.
Why would you do that?
Well, it just, yeah, it's just that resident expert coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, right.
And telling me I should have.
After the fact.
Yeah, and now I look at it and say, you know. I,
after the fact.
Yeah.
They're really good. They really, and the headlines they have, eh? Spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
You know, triple print, like World War II, like headlines.
Box letters and
yeah,
blinking lights.
Yeah, it's incredible.
All consuming.
All consuming. Yeah. Fall consuming. It loves it when you fall. That's when it really eats the best. So shall we quit then? Mm-hmm. That adequately suffice?
Very suffice.
Okay, you notice this beautiful gold light in your heart and it just spreads through your body. And there's no chipmunks on your lap. Okay, there is. And it goes up and down your spine and through your head bone and down your toe bones. Just tingles out your skin everywhere, fills this room, the house, the blog, the city of Edmonton, North America, just goes out through the whole world. Wherever it touches, it's just this moment of presence and interest. And you think whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings so there is less suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings so there is less suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings.